the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a great text. I want to get right into our study for this evening and to share with you, first of all, what I consider three impossibilities of the human mind. Three impossibilities of the human mind. The first of these is seen in verse 9. The human mind in and of itself cannot arrive at spiritual truth. Look in your text, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered into the heart of man. The key word there is entered. This Greek word is a very unique word because when we think in English of something entering, we think of going through something. But this word in the original is this. The human heart cannot arrive at by going up to. The natural mind, the man who has not been converted, who has not been transformed by the Spirit of God, that man cannot arrive. He cannot bring his mind to arrive at spiritual truth. It is possible, my friends, for the most brilliant mind to be totally ignorant of what the Scripture teaches, because it has not been born into the place where it can begin to understand, to arrive at some spiritual truth. The heart is the seat of the intellect in this text. It is the mind. It is that place where we make reasoning. And if you look in Romans chapter 1, we're told that what has happened to us, to you and to me, when we were born into this world as children of Adam, we were born with a darkened mind. We were born with a mind that does not have the capacity to respond to spiritual truth. We were born with a mind that had the ability to reason things. It could see certain things. And this is why non-Christian people, non-believing people, can have somewhat of an appreciation for the Word of God. They can say, yes, that's very beautiful. I'll never forget hearing the story of an actor who was asked to repeat the 23rd Psalm. And when he stood up and he repeated the 23rd Psalm, he did it with such eloquence that the people stood to their feet, clapping in ovation for the way in which it was done. And then an old, uneducated gentleman was asked to repeat the same thing. And he got up stammering and he repeated the 23rd Psalm. And when he was finished, there was dead silence in that place. No one could understand the difference between the two responses. And when asked what was the difference, someone said, one man knew the 23rd Psalm, the second man knew the shepherd. There's a difference. It is possible, my friends, for the uneducated mind to know spiritual things because something has happened to them in order to respond to it. But it is impossible for the unconverted mind to arrive at spiritual truth, to remain in the place where it is and come to understand and accept spiritual truth. In Job chapter 11 and verse 7, Job asked this question, can you by searching That word there in the Hebrew is to investigate, to scrutinize. Can you, by searching, find out God? Can you discover God by simply trying to go through the intellectual reasoning process and come to the place where you can understand God? The answer is no, unequivocally no. One of the most brilliant minds is Bertrand Russell, or was Bertrand Russell, great English mathematician. And someone asked him, Mr. Russell, why are you not a believer in Christianity? He said, I have been through two wars and a depression, and I have no reason to believe that a benevolent God would allow people to suffer as I saw suffering. And so, my friends, the first impossibility is for the human mind to arrive at spiritual truth in an unconverted condition. It has not entered. They have not gotten to the place where they can go through the process and arrive at spiritual truth. The second impossibility. If the first is to arrive at spiritual truth, the second is to accept spiritual truth. Our text tells us again, look at 2:14. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. To accept in this context, my friends, means this: to welcome, to place value upon, to see as being vital to life. To the natural man, when you open the scriptures and you say to him, the Bible says this, and some of us will do this at times, we'll be talking to someone who does not have any appreciation for spiritual truth, and we're going to try to convince them, if they only read this, this is what's going to happen. And the scripture says the natural man does not have that ability. He cannot look into the scripture and say, oh, yeah, I agree with you. That's not possible. He believes it is foolishness. It lacks reason. It lacks logic. Like Charles Templeton, who says, I am a father, and I would never allow my son to die on a cross, so I don't see how God can allow his son to die on a cross. Imagine this man equating himself in actions with the wise God. That's impossible. If you begin with yourself, which is where the natural man begins, you end with yourself. The word natural here is a very interesting word, because it has to do with that which is animalistic. Not necessarily bad, but animalistic. It begins with the earth and it ends with the earth. The natural man has no appreciation to accept spiritual things. I remember before I was a believer, looking at a text in scripture, and the text that I heard was, many are called, but few are chosen. And then when the many who were called and the few who came went to the banqueting feast, they were kicked out of the feast because they did not have the right garment. And I thought, that's unfair. How could God do that? After all, he called them. Then why would he kick them out because they don't have the right garment? Well, you see, I was trying to understand the things of the Spirit in my natural, unconverted self. So when I look in this book, and you will go to universities that have religious department, taught by people who do not know this, the God of the Scriptures, but they're teaching Scripture. And they will appreciate certain things. And they will tell you that this, when it comes to poetry, when it comes to literature, when it comes to the beauty of language, you can't beat the King James Version. And they love it. But that's as far as they will go. They will have no appreciation at all for what this book is saying about God. They will have no appreciation at all for what this book is saying about the person reading it. And so the natural man cannot accept spiritual truth. He can't arrive at it. He can't accept it. Thirdly, he cannot appraise it. In other words, he cannot take that word and examine it and judge it for its riches. The natural man cannot take that word and allow that word to bring him to see the beauty of God's redemptive plan. The natural man cannot bring that word and see all the standards of God in it. I always think of the young fellow in Calgary when several years ago, as we were in this meeting, this young man walked up to me after I was finished speaking, and he said, Sir, I want to tell you, I don't believe anything the Bible says. Well, what do you say to someone like that? I said, I don't blame you for not believing anything the Bible says. You know why? Because the Bible condemns everything you're doing. How can you believe a book that says that? See, Dr. John Gerstner, I'm beginning to appreciate his ministry again and again and again. 84 years old, and Lord help me to be 84 like that. Wow. Full of life, energy. And Dr. Gerstner said this, if you are capable of being insulted, you cannot appreciate the teaching of Scripture. Think that through. If you are capable of being insulted, you cannot appreciate what this book has to say. Because this book condemns the self-righteous. This book brings the proud to the place where the proud has to say, I'll keep my pride over what God has to say here. You remember the man in the 12th chapter of John, I think it is, Luke? He went up into the temple and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this man. See, that man could not look into the Scriptures and appreciate what the Scriptures had to say about his heart. He couldn't examine the truth for himself. He was bound by his pride, and his pride would not allow the Scriptures to be unleashed and show him what his heart really was like. And so, my friends, I've shared with you from this text three human impossibilities. The natural man cannot arrive at spiritual truth. He cannot accept spiritual truth, and he cannot appraise spiritual truth. In other words, my friends, the only thing the world has to go by when it sees your life and mine is the quality of life we live, not the source from which the quality of life comes. That's the only response they have. They cannot judge you and judge me as to what the Word is saying because they have no appreciation for its truths. And so we come then, secondly, to the illumination of spiritual truth of the human mind. From impossibilities, we go to illumination. What is illumination? It means to give light. Metaphorically, it means to give understanding. How does this happen then? If we cannot arrive at spiritual truth in and of ourselves, if we do not appreciate spiritual truth, if we can't appraise it, then how do we understand the Scriptures? Who gives me the right to say this is right or this is wrong? I thank you for asking the question. Listen to what the text says. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. When the person became a believer, an act of God in and of itself, and that person's mind, because he was dead in trespasses and sin, and dead people do not talk or act as far as I know. So the Spirit of God acted to bring us to the place where truth was being transmitted from God. Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things to say to you now, but you cannot bear them. In other words, you cannot appreciate them. You can't understand them in the state you're in. But when the Spirit is come, He will teach you what I have said. He will enlarge your understanding. He will lighten your darkened mind. The entrance of that Word will give light. And so Paul says that by an act of God, by His Spirit, He acts so that you and I can understand. We'll see how this is done as we go through this text. Three things again about illumination of the human mind. First, the understanding of Scripture, the interpretation of Scripture, is reserved for the converted. It is reserved for the converted, not for the curious. Listen to our text again. We go back to 2 Corinthians 9. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Who love Him. For you and I to understand Scripture, my friends, it begins not simply with a head knowledge, for the word here, this word that is used, for love, is a word which has to do with obedience, with reverence, with a sense of awe. It is not simply affection which I have for a person. It is understanding who that person is and coming to the place where I begin to understand something of the greatness of this one that I call God, whom I love. And the scripture says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, that when we believed, past tense, God shed abroad in our hearts love by the Spirit. I do not understand everything about the Holy Spirit, my friends. I don't. But this much I know, that the Christian life, the converted life, which takes place after regeneration, converting means to be changing, to be constantly in a state of flux, changing into something wonderful, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It means that I am in the process of becoming what I am and beginning to know God intimately, know God intellectually, know God obediently, know God reverently. This is what the idea of the word love is here. It is not a love that simply speaks of something I have in mind, some little feeling I have for God, a little affection here and there on a Sunday morning. No, my friends, it is a constant sense of the wonder of God, which actually arrests my heart and my mind, that causes me to reverence God. So that we have this word used for us in James chapter 1 and verse 12. That God reserves for those who love Him the crown of righteousness, because they resist temptation because of their love for God. It is reserved for the converted. It means then, my friends, that it is possible for a person to be a believer and yet be out of fellowship with God, and therefore is not really understanding what the scriptures are saying. It is reserved for those who are converted. Secondly, it is revealed to those who are converted. Look again at our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For God has revealed them through the Spirit. Here we come face to face now with the ministry, the agent of revelation. That's not the book of Revelation. Revelation here meaning the body of Scripture, which a man can never know unless God reveals it to him. Do you recall when Jesus asked Peter, asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So that we cannot come to spiritual understanding of God except God himself reveals himself. And the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is the agent through which we come to understand the truthfulness of the Scripture, in which we come to understand who God is, what God is saying, so that we can go. I remember several years ago I was in Jamaica. I went to speak there. Never been there before in my life. Never knew anybody who I was going to meet or whatever. And as I got off the plane, that's not true. Peter Spencer, I knew Peter Spencer, the district superintendent, or the superintendent for the missionary church in Jamaica, the only person I knew there. And Peter met me at the airport, and he took me to a home that I had no idea who the people were. And as I walked into the home, I was welcome, and all of a sudden there was the sense of having been there before. Well, not really. What was happening? Spirit answered to Spirit. They were people who were born again. And because I was born again, we had a common place of meeting. And that meeting place was in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, my friends, it is because there is an identification that is true. No matter where you go, no matter if you didn't know the people before, God brings us face to face with those of like precious faith, and we're able to identify because the Spirit of God dwells in them, the Spirit of God dwells in me. Not because of who I am, not because of who they are, but because of who He is and His whole program of design. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will act in ways that you never knew before. Truth will be identifiable spiritual truth because it is he who is teaching. The Holy Spirit, says John MacArthur, the Holy Spirit is God, the Trinity's agent of transmission and communication. Revelation, to uncover, to unveil, to give understanding, is the work of the Spirit. Notice not only, my friends, the agent of revelation, but notice also the activities of the revealer. Look at what the Holy Spirit is able to do. No man can do this. Look at what the Holy Spirit does. For the Spirit searches the depths of God. That is not for information. The word search is not, oh, look what the Holy Spirit discovered. No. That word searches there means to be acquainted with the depth. The Holy Spirit, just like the spirit of a man understands the depth of a man, so the Spirit of God understands the depth of God. It is he then who actually takes, as Jesus said in John 14 and 16, he will take the things of mine and he will disclose them to you because he knows what the mind of God is. So the Holy Spirit, my friend, searches. He goes, if you please, to the depth that no other person can go to, because that is uniquely God's. In the eternities of the eternities, the Holy Spirit can go. In the depth of God's wisdom and knowledge, which is beyond finding out, the Holy Spirit can go. So only the Holy Spirit has the right to unveil to us spiritual truth. And I can remember how often I used to be deathly afraid of the Holy Spirit. Things I used to see scared the living daylights out of me. Until I realized that God has something to say about that. And the Spirit doesn't do some of the things people are talking about, my friends. The Spirit teaches us. He glorifies Christ in the Word. He magnifies the Word of God so that a person cannot be inconsistent with the truth and live with his conscience. Whenever we are going beyond the borders of the Holy Spirit, he stops us. He convicts us. It is his responsibility to preserve the truth in you and in me. Look at what Paul says about the Spirit. For the Spirit has been given to us that we might know the things which are given to us by God. No wonder David in the Old Testament could pray, open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. We cannot understand, my friends, the things of God apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We cannot. You know, I have been a great, great student. I guess I don't want to exaggerate here, but I love Oswald Chambers. I don't miss anything that I can get my hands on written by this great saint of God almost 100 years now. And I found myself the other day becoming so impressed and possessed by the spirit of Oswald Chambers that I closed the book. I have stopped reading My Uttermost for His Highest. Only for one reason. Because Oswald Chambers, My Uttermost for His Highest, is not the Word of God. It is about the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God. And if I'm to understand Scripture, I must not depend upon my commentaries. I must not depend upon the scores of books and texts I have in my library. That's not the key to understanding Scripture. The key to understanding Scripture is to fall down before God on our faces, before the Scriptures, and ask him, open mine eyes that from your word I might behold wondrous things. That is why sometimes, my friends, the Spirit, the Word of God does not mean anything to us in tight, difficult situations of life because we are on our own with it. We are not trusting him to use that word at the appropriate time to bring us face to face with the wonderful promises of God in his word. And so we cannot understand apart from the Holy Spirit. Illumination, that we might know the truth which God has given, the Spirit has been given. And lastly, in closing, the Holy Spirit helps us to research spiritual truth. It is reserved for the converted. It is revealed to the converted. And it is researched by the converted. Look again in our text, 2:15. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual judges or appraises all things. He is able to take spiritual things, combining spiritual things, he can take things that are spiritual and find the appropriate word that applies to it. He's able to take, my friends, Old Testament and New Testament and put them together and see how the Old Testament conceals the New Testament in its types and how the New Testament reveals the Old Testament in its teachings. That's what the spiritual man is able to do. He's able to see Christ in the wilderness walking with the people in the types that are taught in the Old Testament, and then turn, if you please, from the book of Joshua to the book of Ephesians and see the similarities of the Christian walk and arriving at Christian maturity and so on and so on. That's what the converted can do. He can take the Word of God and he can examine it and investigate it because he now has the mind of God with which to do that. Now let me close by saying this. Because we have the Holy Spirit to understand the Scriptures does not mean that we know everything. We do not become God because we have the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this: the things that are secret belongs to God. The things that are revealed belongs to us and to our children. And Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will teach you. He will unveil to you. So even though we have the Holy Spirit, we still need teachers, for God gave teachers to the church. Even though the Holy Spirit is unveiling truth, God has still seen fit in his providence to bring human teachers submitting to the truth to teach and to proclaim the truth, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4. So how do we understand the Scripture? Do we need to take a trip to Israel? No. Do we need another translation? No. What do we need? We need submission to the Holy Spirit, who alone knows what the mind of God is, revealed in Scripture, who can take the truth and disclose its teachings to us as Jesus intends them. And when we obey the truth, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To understand the Scriptures, we need to submit to the Holy Spirit and ask his instruction in spiritual truth. Our Father, take your word and may your Spirit accomplish his purpose in making the word to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Thank you for this great text, by no means exhausted tonight. We have just skimmed the surface of what this great, great text is saying. But one thing we do know is that you want us to know truth. So much so that you have sent your Spirit in us to live in us so that we might be able to identify truth that comes from God, not simply for our heads, but for our heads and for our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.